I'm wired for sound now. I might explode. Good morning. It's lovely to be back, and it's lovely to see everyone. And isn't it a lovely morning? No rain and no frost in the windscreen. So a warm welcome to everybody and any visitors that we have today. I believe that we have a few intimations, so you could be here for a while. As ever, tea and coffee through the back and the chance to chat. I'm so sorry I'm going to miss that because I need to dive down to Ardeer, but enjoy your tea and coffee. From the Guild, the meeting on Tuesday, the demonstrator will be Sheila Chalmers on flower arranging, which is nice and timely for Christmas. Elders can pick up their free will offering envelopes for next year. First Stevenson Girls Brigade are having an annual sing-in, so you're all very welcome to come along and enjoy that. And that's on Tuesday the 27th, which is this Tuesday at 7 o'clock in Ardeer. And now we get to the pantomime. It's getting quite exciting. So information about the pantomime, tickets sold out. So I've got my ticket, so that's okay. Sold out for the 4th, but looks like there are tickets for the 5th, 6th and 7th. So get in touch. There's your ticket prices, and tickets will be on sale after the service. I don't know if it means you don't get home until you buy one, but I'll leave that to you, Ross. Carol services, there are three nursing home carol services. There's a Three Towns Care Home on Sunday the 2nd, Thistle Day, and Leslie. Please come along. The minister is having a ministry of healing service in Ardeer Church on Sunday the 2nd of December at 7 o'clock. The Ardeer Get Together, the first Wednesday of the month, so Wednesday the 5th of December, Ardeer Church Hall, 11:30 to 2. I believe this might be their Christmas one. So instead of soup sandwiches, I do believe we get the full Christmas fare. So if you're free and want to come and enjoy the fellowship, there's usually about 30 or so people there, then please come along. On Friday the 30th of November, here at 9:30 a.m, and everybody's welcome to come and support them. And then their Christmas fair is on Friday the 7th of December, 9:30 to 11, admission £1, and go along, enjoy yourself, and probably spend some money, is that right? Yeah. Spend some money for them. Everybody welcome. And the Christmas gift service will be here on Sunday the 9th, so please bring along for children, and these are the ones that will go to local children, and I believe gifts of money as well, that would go towards food for them at Christmas and New Year time. And that's us. Oh, and another.
The Craft Club have got items for sale after the service today.
Okay, the Craft Club have items for sale after the service today. So there you are. Cup of tea, a bit of a chat, buy your tickets from Ross and some craft items. You'll get home by about 2. Okay, right. I have two other ones. I just wanted to give my best wishes and good luck to the panto after all the hard work. I hope it goes well, and I'll be along on Tuesday to cheer you on. And I just wanted to tell you that the youth club has now started, the youth club being run jointly with Ardeer, Livingston and the High Kirk. Started last week, and I tell you this mainly for two reasons. One, to let any people of primary 6 to secondary 4 age group know. It's going to run, the next one's the 9th of December, it's going to run once a month, usually the third Sunday of the month, but on the third Sunday of December there's another activity, so we can't run it. But to tell you that it's being run by a group of young people, two from each church and one other that we've drawn in from Solcots, because he also always helps us in the summer mission. And Alexander and Fraser from your church are on the core group, along with young people from the others. So we have 7 young people and 4 or 5 golden oldies like myself who are going to run this. But it is the young people that have come up with the ideas, have planned it, and they ran the activities last week. And we did the tuck shop and the registration. But they ran things. And all credit to those two young men, because they've done a great job, and to all the other young people. So just something for you to think about and perhaps pray for the success of. Hopefully we'll get a few more young people along. We did have Fraser, Alexander and Duncan along last week, but as I say, Fraser and Alexander are part of the core team and doing a great job. So let's pray for the success of that venture and hope that we can get more and more young people involved. And so, let's start our service, and as we bring in the Bible, let's sing as we are gathered, Jesus is here. To worship this morning, he was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. Let's start our praise this morning by singing praise to the Lord. We have a wee change of plan, so I'm hesitating here. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Let's all sing that together.
Oh,
Let's pray. We've just sung about the Lord, the King of creation. We rejoice this morning in knowing that you, Lord, are our King, a mighty and powerful King, but not in the way the world sees might and power. You're a King who came to earth without elaborate fanfares or fuss. You arrived here quietly, almost unnoticed, born in a stable. It was ordinary people who saw you first. You chose gentleness over greed and peace over power. From your throne on high, you watch over each one of us, accepting us just as we are and keeping us safe in your powerful hands. You challenge us to follow you, but you are there to pick us up when we fall. Your command to us is to love one another as you love us. We come before you now to confess that we haven't always done that. We bring before you this morning our shortcomings, the things that we have done that we are sorry for, the times we have hurt others by our words, by the things we have done, by the things we haven't done. We try to keep these things to ourselves so that others won't know, but you know everything. You know what is in our hearts. You know us better than ourselves. Help us to be worthy of your love, and help us to love those around us more. We ask this in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now Susan's going to come and do the readings for us.
Okay. First reading is from the Old Testament, 2 Samuel 23, verses 1 to 7, David's last words. These are the last words of David, the inspired utterance of David, son of Jesse, the utterance of the man exalted by the Most High, the man anointed by the God of Jacob, the hero of Israel's songs. The Spirit of the Lord spoke through me, his word was in my tongue. The God of Israel spoke, the rock of Israel said to me, When one rules over people in righteousness, when he rules in the fear of God, he is like the light of morning at sunrise on a cloudless morning, like the brightness after rain that brings grass from the earth. If my house were not right with God, surely he would not have made with me an everlasting covenant, arranged and secured in every part. Surely he would not bring to fruition my salvation and grant me my every desire. But evil men are all to be cast aside like thorns, which are not gathered with the hand. Whoever touches thorns uses a tool of iron or the shaft of a spear. They are burned up where they lie. The New Testament reading is from John 18, verses 33 to 37. Pilate then went inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, Are you the King of the Jews? Is that your own idea, Jesus asked, or did others talk to you about me? Am I a Jew? Pilate replied. Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it you've done? Jesus said, My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place. You're the king then, said Pilate. Jesus answered, You say that I am the king? In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of the truth listens to me. Amen.
Thanks very much. You'll get a noise when I do this. There you go. Thank you very much, Susan. Thank you for that reading, and we're going to come back to those two readings a bit later on. We don't have the Jam Club on this morning. I believe the three boys are away enjoying the sunshine in Ireland with the Scouts. So we're going to move straight from that on to singing Majesty. I'm not going to do the children's address. Much of what I was going to do will definitely be covered, but the theme was going to be kings. If you want a nice Burger King hat, feel free to come. You can take that away for Natalie. Anyway, so we're going to carry on now, and we're going to sing Majesty, Worship His Majesty. Today is the last Sunday of the Christian year because, of course, next week is the first Sunday in Advent, and that's the start of the Christian year. It's not New Year, as many people would know it, but it is the start of the Christian year. And this particular Sunday is normally devoted to talking about the reign of Christ the King. Now, we wouldn't have done that 100 years ago. This was introduced in 1925 between the wars, and in the face of the rise of fascism. And we've just celebrated the Remembrance Day, and we have celebrated the things that those people did for us in the First World War and all subsequent wars. But you can imagine in 1925 that the horrors of war would be very much in the forefront of the minds of the people alive at that time. And then they could see that there was a rise in fascism, and they just wondered where the world was going to go. And so it was felt that it was time to call all Christian people everywhere to declare their allegiance to the rule not of men, but of Christ. It was time to bring the true King to the fore. It's probably something that we could be doing with just now. It's maybe not the rise of fascism now that's pushing God out of the world, but the rise of many other things, and perhaps it's time to do that again. But it was intended to be a reminder of God's power. So we're going to have a wee look at that, and that's why our readings this morning were from 2 Samuel and from that part where Jesus is asked if he's a king. We all know the Old Testament is full of kings, and some of them are good and some of them weren't so good. There were kings like David who tried to do what God wanted them to do, And there were others who turned away from God completely and stopped worshipping God and started worshipping other gods. And more importantly, forced the people to do the same. Because at that time, you didn't have the choice. If the king said, today we're worshipping Baal, then unless you wanted some nasty thing to happen to you, you would just do what the king told you. Often these kings, these bad kings, undid all the good things that had been done before them. I remember going through the Old Testament at one point and thinking it was a bit like a roller coaster with a good king, and everything was great and everybody was working towards good things and belief in God, and then with a bad king and all these terrible things happened. There was a good king, there was a bad king. It really is quite a roller coaster. Kings will do anything to keep their power if they are bad kings. And we don't need to look any further than the nativity story we're going to hear very shortly to see that King Herod was determined to do anything he could to keep his power. So he sent the wise men off to find Jesus so that he could then go and kill him, so that there was no threat to his power. And of course, when they didn't come back, well, that didn't stop him. He killed all the children under a certain age just to make sure that he wasn't going to threaten his power. We know the end of that story, and we know that God had another plan, but that shows the lengths that some people might go. So let's have a wee look at the two readings, because I think that they are really important in showing us what a good king can bring to the world and what kind of kingdom that would create, and obviously what kind of kingdom we will have with God's kingdom. Firstly, in David, we get a glimpse there of what a good king will be like. It says, it contrasts what happens when a good king rules justly, and they say, in the fear of the Lord, with what happens when the godless are in charge. The first two verses of that reading that Susan read make it clear that David was anointed by God, and as such, he was doing his work. David hadn't chosen to be king. David didn't want to be king, but God chose David to be king, and God gave him the strength and the ability to do the job. It says, the inspired utterance of David, son of Jesse, the utterance of the man exalted by the Most High, the man anointed by the God of Jacob, the hero of Israel's songs. The Spirit of the Lord spoke through me. His word was on my tongue. David was under no illusions that it was God's voice and it was God's words that he spoke, and it was God's will that he followed. And I really like those last two lines. The Spirit of the Lord spoke through me. His word was on my tongue. Because God was working through David, just as he works through us in what we do and in what we say to those around us, if we will let him. David trusted God to help him in the job that he had for him. He didn't think he could do it, but he trusted that God would give him the strength to do it. God gives us different jobs because of the different talents we have. He gives us different jobs to do in life, either in the church or in through our work or through the people we meet. We need to trust him to give us the strength to do that job and the ability to do the job that he's given us, whatever it is, rather than saying, oh, I don't think I could do that. And then later on in the passage, we get a lovely picture of the impact that a just and godly king can have. When one rules over people in righteousness, when he rules in the fear of God, he's like the light of morning at sunrise, on a cloudless morning, like the brightness after rain that brings grass from the earth. Someone who rules justly can make the whole world an inviting and beautiful place, like a beautiful sunrise. And we all know what a beautiful sunrise or a beautiful sunset is like. I have to say I'm more of a sunset person because I'm not up in time for sunrise. But whichever one you see, there's nothing to match it. The beauty of it can sometimes stop you in your tracks, and it does make us think of God's power, the power of creation and the wonder of God. So someone who rules justly, this passage is saying, can make that positive difference in the world. They can make the world brighter and more beautiful. A place where it talks about grass growing from the earth. A place where grass can grow. A place where other things can grow. A place where there'll be light. They can create a world where people are loved and where people can grow, where spirits are raised up and not crushed, and where people are valued and not dragged down. And so a good king, our king, can create that type of world where it's about love and care. It's about positive. It's not about anger and fear. But that's what happens when the godless are in charge. It says, but evil men are all to be cast aside like thorns, which are not gathered with the hand. And whoever touches thorns uses a tool of iron or the shaft of a spear. They are burned up where they lie. Those who rule justly make the world a hostile place, a place where people are hurt and afraid, a place full of darkness, violence, and fear. Not a world that we would like to live in, but sadly, a world we know many people do live in, even today. A world where there is fear, poverty, insecurity, and violence. And what a contrast there is in that one very short passage between the softness and light of the morning and the harshness of the spears and the thorns. And at the end of the passage, of course, it says that David ruled justly and in the fear of God, and as a result, God kept his promise to him, and Israel was blessed with peace and prosperity. So that's what the 2 Samuel passage tells us a little bit about David and about various kingdoms that could happen. But if we turn our attention to Jesus, there are so many similarities. Just like David, Jesus didn't want to be the king. It's not like normal politics here where you put your name forward to be the MP or the MSP, or I'll be the Prime Minister if you vote for me. Jesus wasn't jumping up and down going, pick me, I'll do that job because I want all the power and I want the big fancy cars and I want all the nice house. That's a bit we would have been chatting about with the children. Kings and crowns and palaces and fancy cars and servants. No, Jesus didn't want that. Jesus didn't ask for that, and he didn't go out canvassing for votes. He, however, was the king. He was quite a reluctant king. If you remember at the end of the feeding of the 5,000, it says in John's Gospel, Jesus, knowing they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. So Jesus didn't want to be king, but like David, God had a job for him. And he knew that, and he did it. He was born for a purpose, and he carried out the work that God wanted him to do. Like David too, it was God who worked through Jesus. So Jesus was God on earth, and he spoke God's words. He taught the people what God wanted them to do, and he showed God's love in what he did. But he wasn't like anyone that they'd seen before. The people were looking for a king, but they were looking for one of these kings that would go out and fight everybody. They were looking for a warrior king that would defeat the enemy by force and subdue them. And so I think at first, perhaps they didn't realize that this was their king. Jesus wasn't like that. He wasn't a warrior king. He showed love, not hate. He was gentle, not harsh. He wasn't soft, because we know that he got his point across when he needed to get his point across in various occasions. But he wasn't the warrior king they were expecting. He was a king of a very different kind of kingdom. And that's what came out in the second passage. He was no ordinary king, and the people hadn't seen this before. I think the readings today show us the difference between the worldly kingdoms and God's kingdom. Worldly kingdoms represent power and authority, and even today, kings, presidents, and those in power rule over the lives of ordinary people, and the decisions they take affect the lives of ordinary people, and we hope and pray that those decisions are the right ones. Like the kings in the Old Testament, some of them make a positive difference, and others bring harshness and hardship and unhappiness. But in the passage that we read from John, God's kingdom's not like that. In God's kingdom, it's not power and authority. It's love, compassion, and forgiveness. In the passage that Susan read, Pilate asks Jesus if he is the king of the Jews, and he says, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. And Jesus answered, "You're right in saying that I'm a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I come to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth will listen to me." Jesus makes it clear to Pilate that although in one sense he is a king, he isn't a king as Pilate would understand it. Because if he'd been a king, his people would have fought for him. They would have prevented the soldiers arresting him. But as we know, Jesus said not to fight the soldiers when they came to him in the Garden of Gethsemane. He made it clear to Pilate that his kingdom is from another and much better place. His destiny was to come to earth so that he could tell people about this new and amazing kingdom. We need to know about this kingdom. A kingdom where things are very different. A kingdom which turns the world on its head. Where the things in the world that are important are considered worthless. Jesus is talking about an entirely different way of us living our lives so that we can be part of that kingdom. And we need to try and live our lives in the way he wants us to try and bring that kingdom here on earth. Throughout his time on earth, Jesus ministered to the poor, the sick, the unloved, and he asked us to do the same in our lives. Every week we pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." But I think that before God's kingdom can come here on earth, we probably have to pray, not "Thy kingdom come," but "My kingdom go." We need to change. We need to change so that it's not the worldly kingdom that we are thinking about, but God's kingdom. And if we can do what God asks us to do in our lives, love one another as he loves us, look after the poor, and bring the world to a better place, perhaps there will be a chance that his kingdom can come here on earth. We said earlier, if someone rules justly, they can make a positive difference in the world. They can make it a brighter place, a more beautiful place, a place where things will grow and shine. They can create a world where people are loved and where people, not just things, can grow. Spirits are raised up, not crushed. People are valued, not down. That is God's kingdom. Can we help to bring that kingdom here on earth? Through what we do and with his help. To God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be all honour and praise now and forever. Amen. We're going to sing "Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God," logically. It's one that when I joined the church, we were allowed to choose a passage. And so when we joined, that passage was read out, and one of the phrases in this is one of the passage I chose. And so this is a very special one, and I think it just says what we need to do to bring the kingdom of God here on earth. our offering will now be taken. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you are our King and we can be your people. We thank you that you sent your Son Jesus to teach us how we should live our lives here in this world. You have shown us a glimpse of the kingdom, but you have invited us to make your kingdom happen here on earth. We thank you for the trust you have placed in us to try and build a better, fairer, and more caring world. We live in difficult times where your rule is not the way many people live their lives. And so we also thank you for your strength. Ask you to give us the strength to deal with the things that we face. Lord, we think of all those in power today. We thank you for those people who treat their positions of power as an opportunity to serve others with justice and compassion. May you give them strength to continue to do the best they can for the people in their care. We also pray that you will be there in areas of the world where there is hatred and fear. Bring comfort to the individuals caught up in war or strife, and work in the hearts of those in positions of power, that they may turn from war and work for peace, work for justice rather than oppression. We pray for those who are ill, sad, lonely, grieving or worried. We take a moment now to name those we know who need your help just now. Be with them. Give them the strength to deal with what they are facing. Help them to know that they are not alone and that you are always with them as their guide and as their friend. Lord, we offer these our gifts of money to be used for the work of the church. We also offer ourselves. Just as you worked through David, we ask that you will work through us. Help us to bring your love and compassion to the people we meet. We hope for a better world, but we realise that it starts here, in our place, with us willing to serve you. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the good news is that because we haven't had a children's address, you're going to get your tea a little bit earlier. But that means you get to spend more money in the crafts and in the tickets. Before we sing the last couple of hymns, my thanks to Susan, Karen and Ross for their help in getting all of this put together. It wasn't the easiest. I seem to bring you problems, Ross. I'll not do that the next time. Anyway, it's been a pleasure to be here with you this morning. So let's close our service singing "At the Name of Jesus, Every Knee Shall Bow." May our glorious and sovereign Lord guide us and protect us as we live our lives for him. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us all now and forevermore. Amen. As the Bible leads the church, let's sing together, Let There Be Love Shared Among Us.